As most of you know, Mr. Robert Field could not come and preach to us today as he has a very bad throat. God willing, Mr. Paul Austin will preach for us this evening. Let us commence by singing hymn number 673. 673. When Jesus' gracious hand has touched our eyes and ears, oh, what a dreary land the wilderness appears. No healing balm springs from its dust, no cooling stream to quench the thirst. Hymn 673.
Thank you.
From God's holy word, we will read two psalms, psalm number 25 and 143. Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses. For they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. And now Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. May the Lord bless that those portions of his holy word to our souls, and help Benji to pray.
O Lord, we come once more into thy house with a desire to worship and to praise thy name. We pray that thou wilt give us that true reverence and that godly fear, that we might look to thee and seek thy presence here with us today in thy house, to cause thy word to be with power in our hearts, to do our souls good. O Lord, we come poor, wretched, undone sinners. We look to thee to give us that true confession of our sins before thee, and that we might fall before thee with that humble, contrite spirit, seeking thy mercy, seeking thy forgiveness. Oh, to know that we have that interest in thy great work, in all that thou hast done. O Lord, do increase our faith and bring us to truly know thee, that thou in love didst come down upon this earth to suffer, bleed and die. O Lord, and may we be enabled to say, for our sins. O Lord, that thou hast redeemed us and made us right for a never-ending eternity, to which we fast hasten on. We know not how long we have here below, but Lord, we do pray that thou wilt prepare us each and make us right for when time shall be no more with us. O Lord, do help us then to look to thee with that true living faith, to trust in thee, to wait upon thee and to seek thee, to come unto thee with our great needs. Lord, we have those great needs here below, and we have that great need of our never-dying souls for an eternity to come. Oh, we do pray then that thou wilt work in our hearts, that thou wilt quicken our souls into life and draw us unto thee, that we might know thee, the one thing needful, the one who alone can save us from our sins and make us right. Lord, we would remember all thy many mercies to us in bringing us through to this present time, and grant us that truly thankful heart for all thy care over us, for all thy loving kindnesses. O Lord, we do desire to remember these things before thee. Go before us then in all our untrodden steps, and keep us each in that right way. O Lord, we pray that thou remember each one gathered here this morning. Lord, they come with various needs and petitions unto thee. We pray that thou wilt send down those answers of peace if it can be thy will, for nothing is too hard for thee. We do pray then that thou wilt commit all their way unto thee, and that thou wilt appear. O Lord, we might be enabled to truly say, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt remember each one and go before them. Guide their steps aright. And Lord, we do pray for thy servant that we expected here today, that thou wilt grant thy healing mercies, and that thou wilt raise him up once more, if it can be thy will. O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt use him to the good of never dying souls. And we pray for thy servant we expect tonight, Lord, that thou wilt give him a word to bring, a message in season to our never dying souls, granting that true liberty of thy Holy Spirit, and may he raise up a precious Jesus. O Lord, we look to thee then to work, and we do pray that thou wilt send us a pastor if it can be thy will, that thou wilt give that right exercise to each one to call upon thy name, that thou, that thou wilt work in the hearts of one to come, if it can be thy will. Lord, it must be of thee. We can do nothing of ourselves. We look to thee then to work and to provide for us and help us still. Do then remember us in mercy and work in our hearts and bring us to that saving knowledge of thee. O Lord, and we do pray for help in this house. Lord, thou knowest the trouble, the broken glass. We do pray that thou wilt curb the powers of Satan, and if it can be thy will, that thou wilt cause the one that does it to come in, to sit and to listen. O Lord, thou canst do these things. We do pray that thou wilt work if it can be thy will, and that thou wilt give us that grace to pray for our enemies. O Lord, thou hast exhorted us to. We do pray then that thou wilt turn the hearts of the one who does it and bring them in. O Lord, we do pray for each of thy servants as they come, week by week. Lord, that thou wilt give them each the word to spread, to bring, the message for us. And Lord, that thou wilt give them that true liberty of thy Holy Spirit, and that it might be with power in the hearts of one and another. O Lord, that there might be those that hear thy word and find their Saviour, and that can come and tell what thou hast done. Thy work, O Lord, made manifest in their hearts to draw them unto thee. We do pray then that thou wilt build up this church with living souls, if it can be thy will. O Lord, do help us to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, for thou must do it all. Lord, do then remember us in mercy and help us still. O Lord, and we would remember this land of ours. What can we say? Wickedness runs down our streets, grows worse and worse. We do pray then that thou wilt curb the powers of Satan, that thou wilt turn the feet to some to come in into thy house to praise and to worship thee. Lord, work in the hearts of some of our rulers, that they might know thee, the one thing needful. O Lord, do turn and bring them to that saving knowledge of thee. and Lord, those of thy persecuted people round the world, we commit them all into thy care, that thou wilt remember them in mercy and help them through. O Lord, wars breaking out here and there, we do pray that thou wilt come over these things, that thou wilt cause them to cease if it can be thy will, and cause peace to reign once more. O Lord, these things are with thee. We do pray that thou wilt work and remember us for good. Go before us each now. Help us in this service. Lord, we do pray for thy help, that thou wilt cause thy word, preached in years gone by, to do our souls good, to be used by the power of thy Holy Spirit, to work in our hearts, to quicken our souls, and bring us to praise thy great and holy name. Do now remember us each in mercy, and go before us. Forgive us each all our sins, for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 1058. 1058. Lord, if thou thy grace impart, poor in spirit, meek in heart, I shall as my master be, rooted in humility. Hymn 1058. I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Ernest Rowe. Mr. Ernest Rowe preached for the last years of his life at Fenstanton Chapel, and he died in the mid-1960s. You'll find the words of the text in Psalm 143 and the 10th verse. Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. There are three things I would like to put before you as helped on this occasion. The first is the person that is speaking. The second is his petitions. And the third is the pleas that he makes to support his petitions. The person that is speaking is a praying man. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Now that is one of the greatest blessings God can communicate to anyone, a praying heart. By nature, as we are depraved, no prayer can be found in the human heart. There may be, and often is, the cry of distress from nature, and a calling upon the name of God by such people under terrific stress. But a gracious, spiritual, heaven-born prayer is never to be found coming out of nature's soil. This is the gift of the Holy Ghost. One of the clearest, strongest evidences of the new birth having taken place in anyone. Behold, he prayeth. Prayer is his confession of helplessness, weakness, dependence upon God. But it is also the confession of his hope of relief. He prays to God. The second feature of the man is that he's not satisfied with praying. He wants answers. Give ear to my supplications. Now that is most important. You and I are not yet beyond the power of the enemy, friends. He can hoodwink us in this great matter. He can say, well, you do pray. What is there to bother about? Well, there's a lot to bother about, really. The point is, does God hear me? Does he give me replies? Can I quite definitely, without Pharisaical pride, put my hand on something that shall be a clear answer to prayer about my soul? About my soul. You and I have plenty of evidences that he has heard our prayers about circumstances and providences spread over a long life. Thank God we have. And they're not to be undervalued. And we are not undervaluing them. But, and it's a big but, I want something more than that. Don't you? You do, if you're alive unto God. You want the answer of a divine Father saying to you, just as he may be pleased to say it, by his word or without his word, but saying to you, Child, I've heard your prayers about your sins. I've blotted them out. I'll not remember them against you. You are mine, and I am yours. Now that's the vital point in religion, to be clear with regard to prayer about one's soul. And where there are delays in answering, it will worry you. You can't settle down, God forbid you should, in a smug complacency that all is well because you've asked him to forgive your sins. You want to know whether he has or not. And I believe he does say in spirit sooner or later to all that really pray for it what he said to the woman. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Go in peace. Oh, you will love him then. You will enter into the holy of holies of real religion then. You will know what the preacher means then when he keeps emphasizing that it must be Christ and Christ only as the foundation of a real religion. Oh, to be able to say, he's heard my prayer at last and given me the long sought for blessing of the pardon of my sin. So the psalmist said, give ear to my supplications. Don't turn a deaf ear. Let me have them. And there's a third thing too. He was sorely persecuted. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. He is sure to have a try at that, taking the enemy here to mean the devil, great adversary. You who are looking for answers to prayer about your soul, look up. The enemy's against you. He's got you set. He won't let you alone. He may leave a lot of people alone who are in a religious form, but he won't let you alone. If you are hungering and thirsting after God, well, the devil will be alert, vigorous, persistent, and he'll do his utmost to throw you down to the ground. He can present many an accusation that you can't deny and don't deny. But when he presents them, you fall under them in your conscience and you say, that's true. Well, what's the good of my praying? I can't expect God to forgive me. And that's all to the delight of the devil. Persecuting, casting down, smiting one right and left. Bitter are the blows that the devil can give to a living soul. Let me stress that, to a living soul. The dead he leaves alone. They're not worried about their sins. They take everything for granted and assume that everything is all right, but not the living soul. And then just one more point about this man, and that is, his is a most urgent case. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Here's something he can't shake off. Here's something he can't get rid of. Here's something that only God can take away from him. It's summed up in that beautiful verse we sometimes sing. Lord, I cannot let thee go till a blessing thou bestow. Do not turn away thy face. Mine's an urgent, pressing case. Once a sinner near despair sought thy mercy seat by prayer. Mercy heard and set him free. Lord, that mercy came to me. Ah, what will you feel like and say when that happens? You won't know where you are hardly, whether in the body or out, unable to tell. You'll look for your sins and won't find them. Look for everything that condemns you, and there's no condemnation against you. Blessed experience. Real, vital, saving experience this. And, O Christ, the author and the giver of this becomes as real to you as your own experience about sin has been. Well, that's the petitioner. And now look at the petitions that he offers. They are twofold. Teach me to do thy will. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Teach me. You know, to have a teachable spirit is a very nice thing. We haven't got it by nature. We haven't. We know everything by nature, even about God. Oh yes, man knows all about God and religion and everything else. So he thinks. And maybe you thought it once. Ah, but doesn't God fetch that down when once the good spirit begins to open up the realities of our case? Indeed. Now we know nothing as we ought to know it. We know nothing as we want to know it. Now it's, Lord, will you be so good as to teach me? Can you bear with such an ignoramus as I? I don't know the mere alphabet, Lord, in the things of God. Can you have as much patience and forbearance as to teach me? I'm willing to be taught. Well, such have a beautiful promise. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. He will, if you've got that desire, he will teach you as sure as his word has declared it. There are some of you who feel grace and would wish to magnify grace, who can join with the psalmist in another psalm of his when he says, Hitherto thou hast taught me from my youth. Ah, now, isn't that a great thing to be able to say? You go back to your youthful days when you get old. Well, of course, it's quite common that old folk live in the past. They can't help it. There are so many memories of the past. And you may think of the young men and women you knew when you were young yourself. Perhaps you were mixed with them in certain matters, but you were stopped. And you think of the others, many of whom, as far as you know, were not stopped. And they've gone. We're not mounting the judgment seat. I qualify it. As far as you and I know, they died as they lived. Why have you been spared, and me too, all these years to ruminate upon the past doings of God? What a mercy to be taught in our youth. Yes, none are too young, let me stress that. We mustn't think that a person has to be 20 or 21 years of age before God can teach them. God can teach an infant in the cradle, an infant at his mother's breast. He can teach them the deep things of God. What do you think to young John the Baptist, before he was born, leaping for joy at the annunciation of the birth of Christ? You think about that. It's an eye-opener. We mustn't, and thank God we don't wish to, limit his merciful power. None are too young to be taught, as none are too young to die. Well, to be taught of God from one's youth, and yet still want to be taught. And here I think one can speak from real heart and soul experience of it. You don't feel your need of teaching so much as you do when you are old. Yes, you may look and see behind you 60 or more years of experience of divine grace. But oh, you hide your head often now for shame. Your ignorance confounds you. What do you know now, after all the years you've come through, some of you? You'll agree with me. We're more ignorant than ever, and more unable than ever to grasp the significance of the divine things that we read in this book. Often one closes it, I had almost said, in despair. Shall I ever know anything aright? Will I ever come to the right knowledge of God's truth? Lord, teach me. Old as I am, teach me. I don't think that in any way whatever God will despise that prayer. I'll tell you a beautiful incident. It occurs in the life of our Lord and in his ministry. We have it recorded in John 6, I think it is, where he says that everyone that hath heard and hath been taught of the Father, what? Cometh unto me. There, the grand secret is out. Everyone taught of God comes to Christ. Not to an organization, not to dead formality, not to religious services, even to stop there. They go right beyond all that, though they're glad to be found in the company of God's people and his ordinances. Oh, but they can't stop there. They are the means. No, they want to get to Christ. And as sure as that is so, it is because, well, as Jesus said, every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And let me finish it. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If only we could explain those two words, no wise. But we can't. I will on no condition whatever cast out. Well, that's the first thing. He wanted the Lord to teach him to do his will. That's hard work, that. It's as easy as ABC to do the will of God when there's nothing very provoking or troublesome or agitating about it. But when the waters of a full cup may be wrung out to you, and he blasts all your gourds and lays all your schemes low in the dust, then, friends, then that's the time when you pray from your heart, teach me to do thy will. When murmuring, grumbling, complaining, agitation, irritability, despondency, and such like things come to the top of your spirit and seem to murder every bit of comfort that you would otherwise have, teach me to do thy will. God's will is perfect, good, acceptable, as we read in the Roman epistle. Oh, to know and prove and do that holy, perfect, acceptable will of God at whatever cost. Ah, you'll want much grace for that, friend. At whatever cost. Comparatively, it's easy to do the will of God up to a point. But when beyond that point, it means the loss of this, and the loss of that, and the loss of the other, our old flesh won't have it without grumbling, kicking, and squirming right and left. But grace will keep on. Teach me to do thy will at whatever cost. Now the second part of his petition is, lead me into the land of uprightness. Lead me. Here is an individual, well, just like a child, beginning to walk and taking hold of father or mother's hand and saying, lead me. He is helpless. I know it's quite customary to talk about our helplessness. It's another thing to feel it, though, isn't it? It is indeed, to live in it too, to be so helpless that you can't even think a thought as you should think it, to say nothing about holding fellowship with God, reading your title clear to the mansion in the skies. Why, you might as well attempt to reach for the moon and pull it down. Sheer helplessness is attached to us. I mean feelingly, and to live in it. Well, that's not a bad spot in which to be, friend. It's not very comfortable, but it is profitable. Lead me into the land of uprightness. The land of uprightness really means the land that is even, straight. Don't let me go into that which is crooked. How easily we can do that. We don't want any leading there, do we? You know why? You and I have got a crooked nature, that's why. And every crooked bit of business that your mind thinks of emanates from that nasty root. But when the Lord is felt to be needed, you'll beg of him to prevent that. You want nothing but what is perfectly straight, honourable and just. First of all, before your God. Never mind what public opinion might think, or church opinion think for that matter. No matter what anybody thinks for that matter. Who are they? They're only mortal like you. You will be looking higher. What does God think? Ah, you are dealing with God. And your conscience is made tender in his fear. And you wish to be led into the land of uprightness in front of him. And as sure as ever God may give you that spirit, you will find many a difficult thing give way. What is a jigsaw puzzle today will be made as plain as can be before your eyes, and you'll be enabled to lie down in the sovereign will and good pleasure of your God. And you will say, choose thou the way, but still lead on. You're not so anxious to see the distant scene. One step with God leading you will be quite enough for you. Isn't that a lovely way to live? I wish I could always live like that. We wouldn't want much other happiness here if we had that, would we? Now, of course, lead me into the land of uprightness will embody what we read in another psalm. This God is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. The word unto means unto and over. Lead me there. Yes, when we go through that valley, we'll want leading then. He'll bring us to it as sure as we are here. But he won't stop there, friend. No, he won't leave one of those poor, helpless petitioners we've been talking about to perish in the icy waters. You and I may fear it, and we do fear death, and I wouldn't believe anybody that said they didn't. Because death is an enemy, say what you will. And it's the last enemy. It's an enemy to body and soul, separating the two. And that's not going to be done with a lot of sugar. There's bitterness in that. The sting of death. I was thinking of that word very early this morning. The sting of death. What a sting there is in it. Where did it get it from? The sting of death is sin. But he doesn't stop there. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory, not only over death, but the sting of death, sin, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so led into the land of uprightness or eternal glory hereafter. And now in the third and last place we have his pleas. They are twofold. First, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Ah, what a plea that is to make. It's wonderful. God is not at all displeased with the man that I've been talking about in this particular, this praying, urgent man. God is not at all displeased with him, calling him his God. For it's true, he is God, even our own God. That is a remarkable sentence. God, even our own God, shall bless us. It seems as if the psalmist is saying, God is my very own. I possess him. He's for me as if he were not for another. He's for my use, comfort, strength, hope. So he is. But it happens to be true of countless millions of his redeemed people also. He's the God of each one of them, their own God. The word is plural, really, and it means Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Thou art my Father. Thy dear Son did redeem me. Thy Holy Spirit did quicken me. Then teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thou is very emphatic too. Thou art, nobody else's. The time was when we had God's many and Lord's many, but through grace now we only want him to be our God, our Lord, our everything. Idolatry goes down into second place when grace comes into the heart and the Lord of all comes to the top. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Then the second plea is this. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Well, the Holy Ghost is good. You have that adjective used of him in the book of Nehemiah and elsewhere. Thou gavest also thy good spirit. I couldn't tell you. And you couldn't tell me, godly hearer, what your thoughts are at times about the good Spirit of God. You love him, you bless him, you worship him. You have no need for arguments to establish him in your feelings as God over all, blessed forever, equal with the Father and the Son. You know very well that nobody but the good Spirit could ever have taken hold of you and changed you like he did. Arms of flesh couldn't do it. Nothing could do it but that mighty hand, as the 40th of Isaiah says, that holds the universe in being. And it's said of the Holy Ghost, he was the one, and so good. He's always good too. He's equally as good when he gives you a direction as when he gives you a rebuke. And he knows how to give directions personally. You know, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. I believe the Holy Ghost gives such personal and direct intimations as to what a person should do now. When Jacob had been with his uncle for 20 years, the Lord God appeared to him and spoke to him personally and said, get thee back to thine own country and to thine own kindred, and I will be with thee. I will deal well with thee. It's nice to have a personal direction like that. Speaking of that word I've just quoted, reminds me nearly 13 years ago now, one Sunday evening it was, I'd been speaking as usual at my own place and had gone in the evening to a place at Tonbridge where I used to go very frequently of an evening then. And I closed the Bible and said the Amen. And between saying the Amen and taking my seat in the pulpit, those words were spoken right into my heart that I've just quoted. Return unto thine own kith or kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I said on the way home that night, there's something going to happen. I won't go into any more details. God takes his own time and he has his own way. But it did happen, and without me lifting a little finger either. And there were ever so many difficulties that I could name, but I would not now, for he broke them all down. And here we are 13 years on to tell the tale. I tell you, God can give you a personal, intimate direction on what you should do, as clear as he gave it unto Philip. And it's just what the psalmist says here. Thy spirit is good. Lead me. And that is what you and I want. Individual contact with God. Thy spirit is good. There are two aspects of this I would mention and then conclude for today. God's spirit was good when he first began the good work, as we read in Philippians. But won't he be good in continuing it and perfecting it at last? He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He hasn't done his work yet. That's why you and I are still here. But when he's finished his work in you and me that have been called by grace, well, then we shan't be here, neither preacher nor hearer. We shall be gone, and it won't be bad going after all, will it? It can't be, with the good spirit who began the work, who finishes the work, and then who leads the soul into the land of uprightness. Glory for ever and ever. And all through the finished work of Christ. May he bless his word. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Paul Austin will preach this evening. Sunday school will be at Bethany at 2:30. And there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Pickett. And next Saturday we hold our Harvest Thanksgiving services when Mr. Graham Cottingham will preach at 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Gerald Buss is expected to preach. And the evening service will be at 6 o'clock. Let us close with hymn number 18. Now to the Lord a noble song. Awake my soul, awake my tongue. Hosanna to the eternal name, and all his boundless love proclaim. Hymn number 18.
Thank you. O dear, kind and gracious God, we do pray thy blessing upon the service this morning. Lord, do bless that which we have heard read to us. And Lord, may that be our desire, oh, that thou wilt teach us to do thy will. And Lord, that we may be able to continue, for thou art my God. Oh, Lord, may we each be able to, oh, call thee our God, my Father, blissful name. Oh, may I call thee mine. Lord, do then follow with thy blessing. Be with us now as we part. Lord, do help in the Sunday school this afternoon. And Lord, we do pray that thou would come up with thy servant this evening. Lord, do give him that word to bring with him. And Lord, do come with him. Oh, grant him liberty. Bless the word. May it be with power. Lord, may it prove to be today thy appointment. Lord, that he should come again. Lord, do help him through the day. And we pray for dear Mr. Field, Lord, in his affliction. Lord, do raise him up again, that he may be able to come amongst us again. So, Lord, do forgive our every sin. Be with us now as we part. Lord, do, oh, guide us in all things to do thy will. Lord, we would pray, as our brother prayed earlier, Lord, for, Lord, the broken window this morning. Lord, whoever threw the stone, Lord, thou knowest. But Lord, may there be a turning, Lord. Lord, that instead of intending to do damage, there may be a desire to come in. Lord, thou canst work through these things. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt guide in all things. And Lord, the upkeep of the building, Lord, we thank thee for it. We pray it may be here for many generations to come, to the end of time, if I will. Lord, do guide in all things. Be with us now as we part. Forgive our every sin. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.